This morning by First Baptist Church and also by Tall Grass Motors. Patty Beaver is joining us today from Family Crisis and Counseling Center. And I guess I should mention she is the victims and the court advocate and also volunteer coordinator. You wear a lot of hats around the organization, don't you, Patty?
That's right. I have two, for sure.
Well, that's good. Find a busy person. They'll do a good job for you. You've accomplishing the mission out there, taking care of, people, but particularly women in general. You do find some men, some youngsters occasionally that need your services, so people just find themselves in a situation where they need some help.
Absolutely, and we have been busy. It makes you know that people are aware of where our agency is, mm-hmm. and the services that we provide, or law enforcement refers us to them. A lot of times they go to the courthouse, to the court clerk's windows, and they refer them to come and see us.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't take a referral as far as you're concerned, but it does help, I'm sure.
Well, they just don't know where to go.
Yeah.
If they're having problems and they're in fear for their safety, they're going to call law enforcement, mm-hmm. and then law enforcement's going to tell them they need to come down and see us because, they can, law enforcement can take care of a situation initially, but it doesn't. That's just a Band-Aid.
Right. The law enforcement is there to stop a situation from happening. After that, they're not the best agency to deal with the problem.
Right. Two different issues here.
Yeah.
We work closely with them. We've got a great relationship with them. They know what they can do. And then by referring them to us, and let's just say that maybe they don't really qualify for a protective order, but there's something going on there that's, mm-hmm. not in the best interest of this individual or victim, by referring them to us, they think, well, the police told me to come, mm-hmm. So they will come. And that allows us, whether or not our protective order services is what we can help them with, we have a lot of free victim services. And so by them just referring them to come and see us, mm-hmm. over an incident that may have taken place, it allows us to tell them about other services that we have. And how they can just, make a phone call, make an appointment, and start those services, whether it's for themselves or for their children or both. Mm-hmm. And these are men and women. We do see 80% women, 20% men, but still.
You do see the 20% men, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
and I think that's important that we get it out that it is a family organization.
Absolutely. This is not just women in this day and time. And these are the 20% that come in. A lot of times, men think that they, shouldn't be the ones. They should be the man and not. But it's dangerous for them, and not only from, some of the shenanigans, the victims can play with you. You have to be careful whether you're the man or the woman in ending up letting them poke that bear to the point then that you get aggressive and then you're the one that ends up being arrested because when the cops come that time,
you were the one throwing stuff or throwing punches,
right.
or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
And so
the red marks are because you finally got all of it. You could stand and just slap them, or whatever. And then, and they did what they pushed you, to that. We can help with that through our victim services where you don't, you learn how to react differently,
mm-hmm.
and how to step back.
And part of it, any abusive situation is one party likes to be in control.
Yes, and they know exactly, and where it gets scary, where we really have to do safety planning with the victims is before, whether it was verbal and mental abuse with the threat of physical, and sometimes there's no threat of physical, it's all that verbal and mental, mm-hmm. That control, that isolation, you're just a piece of dirt, the bottom of my shoe is better than you. All the things that you hear. They make you feel so low that you begin to think that you are low. And it works.
Well, after a person hears that message for enough weeks, days, weeks, months, sometimes years, mm-hmm. they believe it.
Absolutely, I would.
Yeah.
If I was, stayed there and listened to it. And I shouldn't make a lot of that because there's time in my life I would have and probably did, not not feeling strong and good about myself.
So. Well, and I think particularly if you're talking about a youngster, you know, getting it from either parent or mm-hmm. some other person in your life, we say parent, it may not be, mm-hmm. so, but somebody is doing that role, that sometimes we'll say, you know, you haven't got the brains of whatever, or mm-hmm. you're not worth talking about, mm-hmm. you know, I just wasted my time with you. Mm-hmm. They believe it. Oh, sooner or later, mm-hmm. it affects who they are.
Absolutely, and this is the part that breaks my heart, is these children, which grow up to be the youth that are the next generation, when they've lived in this turmoil and witnessed and heard all this, you know, domestic violence and all the cursing and all the ugly words and the drug abuse, the drinking and the cops coming. I know it sounds dumb, but that's normal to them. Mm-hmm. That is all they know. And, you know, they're going to mimic. They're going to think how that is. That's how you do it. And it's okay because that's what my dad did. Or that's what my mother did. Yes, my dad did my mother this way, and I'll never do that. But that's just, they don't know how to cope and do differently.
Well, even those of us who may have grown up in a good situation said to ourselves at some time, I'm not going to do what my mom did, or I'm not going to do what my dad did. Mm-hmm. And we end up doing it anyway.
Right. Yeah. You'll go, oh, that's exactly what my mom would have done, or that's what my dad did, or yeah. And yeah, so think about that then. You know, we have these young people that are put in adult situations, mm-hmm. and they're not adults.
Yeah.
They don't know how to be adult.
Because it was not modeled for them when they were growing up.
Correct. Yeah. You know, and then they get to be the one that takes care of mom because maybe dad's the physical one, the abuser in it. You know, then they feel like they've got to take care of mom. And a lot of times mom gets down to the point that they need that, you know.
But also sometimes they'll be
this could be an 8-year-old child.
Yeah. They'll be now the teen who will get in the middle because they realize that dad shouldn't hit mom.
Right.
But then, so they end up getting hit.
Right. And hit back because they're so angry because of the years of the things that went on.
Yeah. And that's what you're there for, too.
Right. We now, have help for
you,
that.
You can't stop the hitting sometimes, but you can get them out of the situation. Mm-hmm. And give them some coping mechanisms and give them the court relief. Stand beside them when they need to go before the judge and say, right. We need some help here.
Right. You know, I would say maybe, just off the top of my head, 40% of our protective orders are dropped.
Yeah, I can believe
but,
that.
You know,
domestic violence is among the most underreported crimes mm-hmm. there are.
But in addition to that, then they'll get the protective order. They might keep it that 2 weeks till they go see the judge. Sometimes they'll drop it before those 10 days, you know, or 14 days that they see the judge. Sometimes they just don't show and it's automatically dismissed. You know, they don't know, you know, because they're dependent financially, you know, or they just, they don't know how they're, they don't have the skills to know how to cope and how they're going to be able to take care of things. Mm-hmm. So by coming and seeing us, we can start talking resources with them. So they may drop it. And you know what? That's okay. Because the average is a woman will go back and forth as a victim 8 to 11 times before she finally leaves for good. You know? So when we have these young women, you know, come in, you know, and then they get embarrassed because they've done this 3 times or however many times, you know. And I said, no. I said, you know, how many times have you left, you know, in addition to this and 3? I said, okay, 6. We've got 8 to 11. You're getting there. But the main thing is that they learn a little bit more what's available to them in the community, and they can plan. You know, they can plan then how to make their exit. They know, you know, they can learn the skills and how to set boundaries and how to understand that power and control. They, you know, they're going to know about our safe shelter if that's an option for them. Mm-hmm. You know, we try to, you know, help them with this, put them in touch with as many resources as we can so that they can start building. Either they're ready for it then or they're not, but they know a little bit more than when they came in. But the main thing is that safety planning and talking to them, you know, and making them aware of some things that might not be safe and how they could do something different.
Yeah, and that's giving them options, giving them choices so that, okay, when they reach their I've had enough of this situation point, mm-hmm. they can already have, you know, some kind of a plan in mind.
Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes as a victim, you're in the mindset and it's all about you, but also as a victim, you pardon me, you have to remember not only are you in harm's way and that's who we're here to help, but by making choices of dropping a protective order too soon, you put others in harm's way. Mm-hmm. So you really need, instead of, you know, immediately just dropping it, you know, you need to let us help you assess, is this really the thing to do? You know, are you safe? Things have changed? Or, you know, what's behind this and what could we do maybe to help and you not drop it and be safe?
And yet I can easily see that individual saying to themselves something to the effect of, well, you know, we got married. I've already invested X number of days, weeks, months, years in this relationship. I can fix it. And chances
are I've got a child.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's right. We want them to be able to mend this and fix these issues. You know, we want that for them. Everyone wants it for them. Mm-hmm. You know, but sometimes, you know, you do have to seek help and you have to retrain your mind about, you know, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, and how, you know, how to get healthy. If you can't have a healthy heart, a healthy person to make good decisions, how are you gonna then, you know, give that off then to your children or your significant other, you know?
Exactly. We're talking with Patty Beavers from Family Crisis and Counseling Center and talking about some of the ways that they can help you if you are in a situation. We'll continue in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
KWON, KYFM, KWON 93.3 and AM 1400, and we're talking with Patty Beavers from Family Crisis and Counseling Center this morning. She is, among other things, the court advocate and volunteer coordinator, and we're just talking about, you know, why people don't leave, and they stay for all kinds of reasons, some of them good, some of them maybe good to them, some of them even maybe not so good, but they stay anyway.
You're right, and I guess you know, the main stigma with this is the general public will say, why doesn't she just leave?
Yeah,
but that's not the issue. The issue is, why does he batter her? Why does he abuse her, or he or she? You know, why is that abuse? Why do they do that? Why is it acceptable? And we put it back off on the victim of why does she stay? Why does he batter her? Is really what it is. If he wasn't an abuse, he or she.
Well, statistically, most of the time.
Right, but out of fairness, you know,
yeah.
Why do they do that? And you know, until we can make a better community awareness, this is not acceptable.
So we're asking the wrong questions, basically.
Absolutely, right.
And I guess in order to help the situation, we have to ask the right questions so that we can draw the right conclusions and move on down the road.
Right.
But that's what FCC is there for. I mean, it part of it is what you're here talking about this morning, to educate the community so that we can ask the right questions and hopefully get better outcomes.
Right.
But still, it's a matter of those individuals. We all need a support network. We need friends. We need pastoral staff, counselors, somebody that number one, we can let off steam to if necessary, and also get some encouragement from.
Right. You know, and again, I work with, and I know Stacy does the same thing, we work with being able to give them resources in addition to their safety, talking about things that can help keep them safe, mm-hmm. To give them some choices. We also work with phone calls of who you can call if you have questions about certain things. This 211 is a wonderful tool mm-hmm. for people to call. You know, if they've got a crisis and they don't know who to call, what agency it is, call that. You know, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 17 languages or something like that. Yeah. You know, just ask them and they can help put you in touch with things.
Well, and I was talking earlier this week even with Melissa from the Suicide Prevention Coalition. Mm-hmm. And I could, as we, it wasn't what we were specifically talking about, but I was trying to figure out a way to relate what they were talking about to what you and I are talking about mm-hmm. this morning, that sometimes people will, you know, find themselves considering suicide as a way to get out of a situation.
Right. Yeah. You know. Yeah. That's just the knee-jerk reaction, that's the thing to do. It'd just be easier.
Yeah.
You know, it briefly, that might be normal just for a second, you know, but after that, it isn't. You know, it isn't. But unfortunately, when you have people that are maybe already depressed, mm-hmm. then they may stay in that mindset. And we observe people and make them aware that if while they're in visiting with us about the paperwork, that if they do start talking about harming themselves or someone else, we have to have a counselor come in because we wouldn't let them leave in that state of mind. They sign a release that we can call a counselor for them. You know, so yeah. You know, we give them. You know, handouts on counseling services, whether it's Grand Lake or Samaritan, any, you know, the different agencies here. Workforce, for instance, has, you know, if they're unemployed and they want, provided that there's going to be funding this year, you know, from the government for it, you know, you can go and at no cost, sometimes it's at no cost to you, like mm-hmm. Pell Grants or whatever. And then if it's a skilled position in the state of Oklahoma, mm-hmm. You know, they can get you set up and then you can get a trade and a skill that can make a living for yourself and your, you know, and your family. But they don't, you know, people don't know those when they're staying in that victim mindset. So, mm-hmm. you know, I work with giving them a lot of things like that. If I see someone, you know, if you can see the light there at all, you know, sometimes they need help for a while first.
But frequently that first step for them is getting to your shelter.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then once they're there, if they stay, mm-hmm. that healing process can start.
Right.
And then you can start really saying, hey, can I set you up? Let's go down to the workforce center or let's talk to somebody at Tri-County.
And this situation right now, I'm not even talking about the women. Case management at the shelter does that for the shelter victims.
Yeah.
I'm also talking about some of the clients that come in to just for a protective order because they're going to go back to them if they don't have, you know, any means that they don't have transportation to get a job or they don't have a job or they're working, you know, at minimum wage. So I try to encourage them by call Tri-County Tech, you know, or here, call workforce, you know. Some of them, you know, are, you know, they're at that point, they're just sick and tired of being sick and tired, mm-hmm. you know. So either way, but yes, case management for the shelter is a totally different
right.
thing.
Yeah. If we're talking about you or someone you know this morning, give Patty a call or give somebody a call at Family Crisis and Counseling Center. Better yet, if you can work your way in the front door, stop by and talk to somebody face to face.
Absolutely. Call 918-336-1188. There's two protective order advocates that were either working on protective orders or taking crisis calls. Hopefully we can, you know, one of us is available. We can talk to you right then. Otherwise, we'll, you know, give you a call back.
Okay. Patty Beavers this morning. Family Crisis Counseling Center. Again, give them a call or stop in the front door. They're located just down the street here from Frank Phillips Boulevard in Bartlesville. News on the way next from the ONN.
From the ONN, I'm Sean Carey.